morning. Good to see y'all here. We had a good trip, uneventful trip. We got there okay, and traveled around okay, and got home okay. So, it's not doing nothing but staring at me. There it goes. Yeah. I couldn't hardly remember where I started from right then. Okay. Yeah, we left here a little after 9:30 Monday morning. Closer to 11. But it was a little bit after. It was after. It's the same day. It's all okay. So, but everything went real good. The travels, everything. My mom and my grandma's not doing any. My mom's just as tired as she was. My grandma's, she don't know who I was. I've been down there. I talked to her some, and she just stares at you. But she's still pretty spunky, though. If she don't want something, she'll argue with you about it. Not verbally, physically. She'll fight you. But her little arms are just little bitty. But she's strong. So, but just keep praying for her, Mom. You know, my dad told me, he said, when we went to leave that Friday morning, we were packing everything up, and he told me, he said, now, your mom and I don't know when we're going to get up there. I know. I understand. I said, okay. We don't know when. We don't know when. I know. I know. I understand that. And he's like, okay. But now, when we do come, it ain't going to be a short visit. I said, okay. You come on. So I told him, we got a bed fixed for you downstairs. It's all a room fixed. It's all ready. I can put your name on it. You know? So, but just keep praying for them. I sent him a picture, the Pastor Appreciation Day picture that we took. I put that on my computer, and then I wrote above everybody their names. Okay? Because we talk about y'all, good things. But we talk about y'all. You're in conversations, right? My mom and dad have no idea who we're talking about. So I thought maybe that would help them feel more like they know you a little bit. So when they come up here, hopefully they'll feel like they know more about you already. So just be praying for them. So, but we made it home okay. Got home Monday night about 8 o'clock. It was longer coming home than it was going. Seems like it always is. But so I was listening to a message Sunday night. We was at church Sunday night listening to, I don't know if you know him, Brother Al Malo. He was here a lot when Brother Lamb was your pastor. He was here quite a bit then. I don't know if y'all know the name or not, Brother Al Malo. Al and Wanda Malo, he's a pastor at Salem Missionary Baptist Church in, I guess that's Oblong, Illinois, is where he's at there. But he was preaching Sunday night. I'm not going to preach on the topic he was preaching, but he mentioned a phrase that caught my attention, and I'd never seen that phrase before. And so it got me curious. So I wrote it down real quick on my notepad, and then he mentioned another phrase, so I wrote it down real quick. And so when I got home, I looked those phrases up, and it's really kind of neat. So, you know, this is the first day of a brand new year, right? What are we going to do this year? Now, that's kind of where I'm coming from with this. We make plans. We make all these kind of plans. We have ideas. We have plans and things we want to happen this year. I remember as a kid sitting down with a calculator and figuring out back then, I don't know if I want to tell you the pay rate, regular pay rate, the minimum pay. I think it was around $1.85 back then when I was a kid, 16 years old. I mean, you didn't get paid much. You know? But I was figuring up, and some people, I mean, they got paid big bucks. They were up in the 20s, an hour, $20 an hour. And so I put that in my calculator. Can you figure up $1.85 an hour for 40 hours a week? You figure that up. That's what some people make an hour now, right? I mean, what I'm making a week, they're making it an hour now. And I would put in $20 an hour and think, wow, that'd be something. You know, that would be something. Just blew my mind, those numbers. But what I'm getting all that is we all make plans, right? We got plans. We have ideas of where we want our lives to turn out, the things we want to do. And we're starting a brand new year. So the phrase that I looked up is gospel of. I've never looked that phrase up in the Bible, never noticed that those two words were together multiple times. And it's kind of neat because the phrase goes together with the gospel of Christ, the gospel of God, the gospel of the kingdom of God, the gospel of your uncircumcision, the gospel of, now I don't remember what they all are, the gospel of your salvation. And it's neat to look those up and to study those out and to see where they're at. I'm not done with the study yet, but I came across a verse here that just really got me to thinking about this next year. What is our, we all have goals for next year, right, for this year that we want to do. But I want us to have a goal to not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I want that to be our main goal. And so I got to wondering, how can we make this our goal? How can we make this our goal that this year we not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ? What do we have to do? And you think, well, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of what I believe. Paul said, turn if you will to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans 1, verse 16. And we'll read this verse. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So when I read this, I'll just show you how I read it and my thought process in it. I said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." And then I just kind of was like, wow, that's a good thought for the next year, is to purposely not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And then I got to thinking about, how do I not be ashamed of it? How do I do that? You know? So then I went to my Bible program and I looked up the word ashamed. You ever look that? I never looked that word up either. You ever look that word up? It's all over the Bible. But you know what I found? The majority of the time it's mentioned. Well, I can't say that. The times I'm using it here, there's many times it's mentioned about different ways of different people that are ashamed, that they are ashamed because of this and because of that. But then what we're going to do tonight, we're going to go over some of the verses that say, if you do this, you will not be ashamed. And that's what I want for us for this year, is for us to not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. But then as I was thinking about this and looking those verses up and wondering about how not to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, you would think that we already know this, right? I mean, we do. We do know that to not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, we need to know what the gospel of Christ is. One, right? We need to, one, be saved. We need to, two, know what the gospel of Christ is. We need to know what the word says. We need to know about these things. And I began to think about it. You know, when I began to plumb, I was building plumbing houses, that I learned, first I would go in and I would, when I got off the truck, I was handed a shovel. When I was a plumber, my first plumber, I had it, my tool was a shovel. I didn't have any knowledge about how pipe went. I knew that when they said this one's deep and that one's shallow, I wanted to start on the deep end to work up the shallow way, not the shallow end to work down to the deep end. They were lying because I'm getting tired, I'm digging deeper. Let's get tired when we're digging shallower, right? So I had that much knowledge anyway, at least. But that's what I started with, and I began to think about this, that there's babes in Christ you know, are there any here? Who says whether a person is a babe in Christ or an adult in Christ? You could be saved for 20 years and still be a babe in Christ because you haven't studied, you haven't grown. So when I was plumbing and I started out with a shovel, I mean, I done that for months, just digging. And then I got promoted. Then they gave me a drill. Still no plumbing parts, just a drill. And then they would mark on the floor and say, that's where you dig, or that's where you drill. Wherever I got down below, you drill up too. So then I'd have to drill down and up. You know, and sometimes look, check studs out, go through the studs. That's what I've done all day long. You know, it wasn't until I had, you know, you would think being a plumber, digging and drilling, that doesn't teach you anything. That's what I was thinking. But then you know what? When they had me putting pipes together, you know what? I could go in and look at the ditch and be like, oh, yeah, there's a hole up there. Somewhere there's a hole. Why? Because I've been drilling the holes. I know now what those holes are for. I know what the ditch is for. I know all of this. I know the flow where it's supposed to go. And I was learning some things. You think about that. With Christianity, with our spiritual walk with the Lord, we build on these things. We build on them. We start small and we build up. And to not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, first thing you have to do, you have to get to work. Plumbing's not easy. Working is not easy. My grandpa always said, if working was fun, it wouldn't be called work. Right? Work is called work for a reason, because it's hard. Look, being a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ is not going to be easy. You want to have a year that you will not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Well, what my desire is for me and for this church is at the end of 2020, we're willing, if we get to the end of 2020, that we can look back on it and not be ashamed of any part of the 2020 of our lives. That's my desire. That's my desire for me, for my family, for this church. So how do we do that? When I was plumbing and I learned how to lay things out, when I walk up to the job, you had to figure up, and in your mind, you had to see that toilet sitting there. Even if there was no walls, you had to see the toilet sitting there. Why? Because you had to know where you're going. Know where you're headed to. Do you know where you're going? You know, I don't know if I'm making sense or if I'm just talking around in circles, but we have hope, right? What is your hope? Who's your hope in? Who's your faith and trust in? Look, it's not in us, right? It's not in you. Our hope and our faith is in Christ. And I was thinking about all these things. And then I thought, all of a sudden, I didn't finish the verse. I just read the first part. So I turn back over to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Then I was like, huh, look at there. For or because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the power of God unto salvation. He believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. He trusted in him. And you think about where Paul came from. Have you ever studied about where Paul came from? I mean, he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, right? Is what he says in Philippians. In Philippians chapter 3, he says that, look, he had all kinds of things going for him, humanly speaking. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I mean, he was trained at, I think, the feet of Gamaliel. Is that right, Gamaliel? I don't know if that's the right name or not. But he was trained. He was taught to be a Pharisee. If he was going to brag on anything that he'd done, he had ways to brag. But then he says that there's nothing I can brag at. All that's lost. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. Everything that we are doesn't amount to anything without Christ. He needs to be everything that we are. And that's what Paul is saying here. When he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. that he would trade everything in the world for it. Are we to that point? Are we to that point that we would trade everything for Christ? We would give up everything that we have for him. We're going to look at some of the places that ashamed is used. Look in Psalms chapter 25. Psalms chapter 25 and verse 2. Psalms 25, and we'll start in verse 1. It says, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me." How is it that David is saying here? Where's David's confidence that he's not going to be ashamed? It's not in his abilities, is it? He's saying, "I trust in you." He trusts in the Lord. Everything that he has is of God. Look in verse 3, he says, "Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause." We want to not be ashamed this year. Don't put cart before the horse. I said that wrong, didn't I? Yeah. Wait on the Lord. Seek him more than anything else. You know, it would be wonderful. I'm going to get in the flesh here just a little bit, okay? So it would be great if at the end of 2020, all these pews were full, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be awesome? But what is more important than that? That all of our hearts grow. We grow spiritually at the end of 2020. If the Lord doesn't add anyone to this church, but we grow closer to him, isn't that good too? Shouldn't we want that? And then if he decides to add, that's fine. But we don't want to add, right? We don't want to add people here. Because if we add people here, we're adding sorrow. We're adding headache. But the Lord adds them, he's put them here for a purpose. And that's what we want. Our trust is in him. If we'll put our trust in him this year, we will not be ashamed. Look in verse 20, chapter 25 and verse 20. It says, "O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee." We will never go wrong trusting in the Lord. Have you ever went wrong trusting in the Lord? Have you ever trusted the Lord in a situation and then regretted it later? No. That's the answer. The answer is no. Are y'all just looking at me like it's a trick question? But it's not. It's not a trick question. But how many times have you decided to do it on your own and then later you had regret? We do, don't we? We do. You think we'd learn something after a while, don't you? Maybe it's just me. Maybe y'all have learned. And I'm the slow learner here, right? But we try and do it on our own sometimes. Then we regret. I want to trust in the Lord more this year than I ever have. That's my desire for me, but that's my desire for this church. What I've noticed, how I desire to grow for the Lord, it's not just for me, it's for you too. For you, us as a church, that we would grow and not be ashamed of the things of the Lord. Look in Psalms 31, verse 1. Psalms 31, verse 1. It says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness." If you put your trust in the Lord, and you trust him, you believe on him, and you follow his word, you read his word, we study, we read, we meditate upon his word in our own lives, not just here at church, but in our own devotions at home, you know you're not going to be ashamed. You're not going to regret those times that you've done that. In verse 17 of Psalms 31, says, "Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave." When we serve the Lord and we follow him, he says, "Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee." We need to call upon the Lord more this year than we have last year. We need to. We need to make it a point in our lives. How much does the Bible say that we are to pray? Once a day? Twice a day? Three times a day? It says without ceasing, right? We need to make it a point in our lives this year to pray without ceasing. To pray, to talk to the Lord about everything that we're going through. Every thought that we have in our minds, to talk to the Lord about it. You know, and I'm not just telling you this. I'm telling me this again, right? We need this. We need to serve the Lord more this year. That needs to be our desire. We have a lot of times that we have desires and we have goals, but do we set spiritual goals? Or are they just physical goals? Are they goals for work and goals for all different kinds of things? We have goals to get the honey-do list done, the jobs done around the house. We have goals to purchase this thing or that thing, but how many times do we sit down and actually figure up our spiritual goals? Do you have a spiritual goal? You know, I was in public school for most of my school time, and then when my dad took the church in Forest Dell in Missouri, that was 30 years ago, then I'm telling how old I am now, but went to school there in 10th grade, 11th grade. Might have been just 11th grade there. But there, in public school, you didn't set goals. You walked into class, you sat down, you watched the teacher at the chalkboard do their thing. They taught the class, you done the homework, and that's it. We had no goals. But then when I moved to Missouri and went to this private school there, you know, we had a little chart, a little thing called a goal card. You know, I set my own goals, you know, so... I mean, I'm a lazy kid, kind of like, so ain't no kind of like about it. I was lazy. I'm trying to sugarcoat that a little bit because I don't want to just say I'm lazy, but I was lazy. I didn't want to do school. I didn't want to work very good. So I don't know if y'all have seen how we have our school set up downstairs, but the kids have desks that they sit in. They sit in this desk, and this is how it was when I went to this school. It was different. It was strange to me. You sit in this desk, and you have dividers on either side of you. They come out far enough that you can't turn around and look past them, right? You can't look over. They're high enough you can't look over them. And if you turn around, the teacher hollers at you. So you can't turn around. You can't look up. You can't stand up. You got to sit there. And then you got these flags you put up, and the teacher comes over and asks what you need. So then you tell them what you need, and they give you permission to get up. In public school, you could sit there and just look all over the room, right? We went to this private school, and I had to set my own goals. Well, that's cool. One page. That didn't work very far. That didn't work very long. One of the teachers was Miss Alls. She was very stern, but very, very fair, and very loving and caring. She didn't let me get by with it one day. She brought by a whiteout, set it down by me, and said, "What's that for?" So that's to set you some real goals. Oh, okay. So she helped me. She taught me how to do it and all. But, you know, in that 11th year, I went through about 3 grades of school in that 11th year. I had nothing else to do but sit in this little cubicle thing big enough for me to fit in and stare at a bulletin board. That's it. You know how boring that is? 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, I'm sitting there staring at this bulletin board. It's not long I got figured out that, you know what, I can have a better day if I just do my work. I went through pace after pace. There was some time of paces, a little workbook. They would give me these paces, and there were some days they would give me the pace. At the end of the day, I'd hand it back into them, done. And it's supposed to take a week or so to do those paces. I mean, the Lord blessed in that. He taught me how to set goals there and how to stick to it, how to get going, how to make yourself concentrate. You know, and all of that, I'm saying all of that for a purpose, that we know what it is to set goals physically in life. We know that. Somehow we lose how to set goals spiritually. We don't put those two together, but I'm telling you, they're the same. You set a goal spiritually. Look, I want to read every day. You can't wait for your Bible to jump up in your lap. You have to go get it. You have to open it up. You have to read it. We set these goals. We set these things. Oh, I want to do this year. Are you going to do it? What is the easiest way to make a habit, a good habit? One of the things you do is you do it at the same time, at the same place. Every day. That's what you do. You have a place set aside that you go, and this is what you do when you're in this place. And it'll be a lot easier for you to set a good habit. You want to get in a habit of reading every day? Then read in one place at the same time every day. Do it that way. If you don't do it that way, it's just going to be happenstance if you do or not. I'm telling you, we're still on the same thought of not being ashamed at the end of the year. Look, we can't all of a sudden get to the end of the year, right? As I mentioned, when I plumbed houses and buildings and four-story buildings and things like that, do nursing homes and assisted living that had 116 units in them, 116 houses under one roof, we wouldn't build it in one day. But when we walked on the job, we knew what the building was going to look like from day one. And we kept that idea. We kept that thought in our minds all the way through that project. You know, and we focused on that. That's what we need to do here. How do you want to end the year? Do you want to end the year ashamed of what you've done, how you've lived, or do you want to end the year rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ? How do you want to do it? It takes about one day at a time, you focusing on what he wants us to be doing. And that's what he says here, let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Every day we need to call upon the Lord, ask his help for that day, for this day. Because we can't do this on our own. Can you? We can. We can. Don't think you can. Look in Psalms 119 and verse 6. We'll read verse 5 and 6. He says, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. We need the Lord to direct our paths. The Bible talks about us allowing him to direct our paths, submitting unto him, drawing close unto him, allowing him to direct our paths, direct our steps, being in control of those things, not us, so that we won't be ashamed. Look in verse 46 of Psalms 119. Verse 46. Says, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. This year, as we read and as we study, as each one of us, as individuals, read and study and meditate on God's word and pray without ceasing, you know what we're going to have a desire, more desire to do? Witness. Tell people about Christ. We're going to have a more desire that people see God in us. They ought to already. But I think sometimes we forget that people are watching. We forget that they know how we're supposed to live sometimes better than we do. Look in verse 80 of Psalms 119. He says, let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. We need our heart. We need the Lord to control our heart. We need our heart to be steadfast on what the Lord says. How are we going to do that? By putting his word in our mind and our heart every day. By putting him in. Look, what's in your heart is going to come out your life. Be guaranteed on that. That's a promise. What you put in is what's going to come out. We need to put more Jesus Christ in his word, in our heart, in our minds this year than we ever have before. And you may say, well, Pastor, I read every day. Good. Good. Think about what you read. So we can, are you telling me we can't add service to the Lord this year? You're telling me you're doing as much as you possibly can. There's nothing else you can do. You know, I've had people when I was in the field tell me, I've done everything I can do today. I couldn't get any more done today. Like, I saw you 3 or 4 times on your phone. Tell me, no, you could do more. I didn't have time. No, you didn't make time. When we get to the end of the day, how many times do we say, oh, I forgot to do this. I just didn't have time for it. But do you ever go back and make an itemized list of the things you've done that day? You'd be surprised. There's a lot of things we had time for, we just didn't make time for. You know, and that's some of what we're talking about tonight is when we get, look, if we want to not be ashamed when we get to the end of the year, end of 2020, we want to not be ashamed of what we've done for the Lord Jesus Christ. And what it takes is not being ashamed tonight for what we've done today. It has to start today. And then tomorrow, we start tomorrow. And at the end of tomorrow, we look back on the day and we're not ashamed. Why? Because we've done today what we're supposed to do. That's the only way we're going to get to the end of the year and not be ashamed. It's the only way. Because we can't get to the end of the year all of a sudden. Look in Mark chapter 8 and verse 38. Mark chapter 8 and verse 38. I started not to read this verse, but we're going to. We're going to read it. We know this verse, but we don't always think about this verse. This verse says, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father and the holy angels. Are you going to be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ? So, well, no. No, I'm not. You can say that now. But how about when he comes? How about when the Lord comes? What are you going to be found doing? How are you going to be found? You think about the 10 virgins. 5 of them had their lamps trimmed and had their oil ready, right? 5 of them did not. Then the 5 went to the other 5 and said, hey, you know, give us some of your oil, and then we'll all be ready. What did the 5 say? No. You go to town and buy your own oil, otherwise we're going to share ours and we'll all run out of oil. The 5 wasn't ready, right? The 5 virgins weren't ready. So they left. They went to buy oil. And then the master came, right? They were ashamed. When they got back, he was gone. What are you going to be found doing? Are you going to be found prepared when the Lord comes back? You're ready. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Your lamps are trimmed. Your oil is ready. Everything is ready. Everything is where it's supposed to be. Or are you going to be found trying to get everything where it's supposed to be and not serving the Lord with what you're supposed to be doing? What are you going to be doing? You know, so with this verse, I want you to just remember this verse. And he says here, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father and the holy angels. Remember this verse, and we're going to, you'll see it again here in just a little bit. Look in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. Romans 5 and verse 5. We're going to start here in verse 1. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Now listen to verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The Lord has given us the Holy Spirit, that we can serve him, we can follow him, we can... Yeah, I was talking to a guy tonight that was telling me about some different things he's going through and some things that he's made some bad decisions and he's had to stop and now he's having to back up. You know, and I asked him, I said, well, when you made that decision, did you hear any small voice in the back of your mind saying, hey, don't do this. Don't. Stop. And he's like, yeah, I heard. Remember, we're going to mess up. We're going to make mistakes. My grandpa always said, when you make a mistake, you learn from it. If you learn from it, it's a profitable mistake. You know, not necessarily a good thing, but it's profitable. You've grown. But if you keep doing the same thing, hoping for a different outcome, that's a definition of insanity. Doing the same thing, hoping for a different outcome. Don't make the same mistakes hoping for a different outcome. Learn from it. Learn from it. Let the Lord mold and make us what he wants us to be. We, here he tells us, he says, and hope. Where is our hope? Our hope is not in you, right? My hope is not in me. Our hope is not in us, right? Where is our hope? Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the end of everything? Where are we going? Where are you going when you die? Where are you going to spend eternity at? Well, yeah, that's where our hope is at, right? The end. Way down there. We don't know when we're going to get there. We don't know. We don't know how we're going to get there. And what I mean by that is we don't know how we're going to die. We don't know if we're going to die or if the Lord's coming back. That's what I mean by that. I know we're getting there by Jesus Christ. I know that how. But the how I'm talking about is how we're going to die. We don't know any of that. We just put our faith and our hope in him. And that's where he says, maketh not ashamed. When you have your hope in Jesus Christ, you don't have to be ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. I know I'm saved. I know it. You know, I'll be honest with you, there are some mornings. I've had some mornings that I wake up, I don't necessarily feel saved. You ever had a morning like that? You wake up and you don't feel safe? You ever wake up and just feel grumpy? If anybody looks at me wrong, I'm going to pound them. You ever had that feeling sometimes? You just, some of y'all are smiling. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Or y'all looking at somebody else thinking, yeah, they felt that way. But, you know, but I know I'm saved no matter how I feel. I know. So, well, how do you know that? Because the Holy Spirit dwells in me. He helps me know. He shows me that he knows. Sunday mornings, we've one service so far, I do believe, on the Holy Spirit, the working of the Holy Spirit. That has been a really neat study to me. It's an eye-opener of everything that the Holy Spirit does. He assures me. The Bible says to make sure your salvation with fear and trembling. We need to make sure we're saved. Make sure that the Holy Spirit dwells in us. Seek His face in everything that we do. Because that hope in the Lord Jesus Christ makes us not ashamed of His word. Look in Romans chapter 9, verse 33. Romans 9, 33, and we're going to have to hurry up here. Romans 9, 33 says, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. If you're here today and you're lost, you need to repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You will never be ashamed. You will never regret believing and trusting in Jesus Christ. But there will come a day, if you choose not to trust in Jesus Christ, that you will be ashamed. You will regret it, but it will be too late. There is nothing you can do about it then when you stand before the Lord. As long as you're breathing, as long as you have a breath left in you, the Lord is long-suffering and giving you opportunity after opportunity to trust in Him. Don't let those go away. Believe, repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and you can, and this goes for us that are saved. We need to every day believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in Him for everything that we're going through, everything. We will never be ashamed of trusting, putting our hope and our trust in the Lord. Never. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. This is Paul doing the writing here again. He says, 2 Timothy 1:12, says, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. This is the second time we've seen Paul saying he's not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Are you persuaded? Are you truly? Paul, when Paul says here, I am not ashamed, because he is persuaded that he is able. Are you persuaded that the Lord is able for whatever? He's able to keep that which you've committed unto him. Are you persuaded? Fully persuaded. Not partly persuaded. Not, yeah, pretty much no. Paul says he is 100% totally persuaded. He knows. It's a matter of fact, he knows. Is that where you're at? If you're not, then I suggest you get there. I suggest you begin to read and study and you find out what the Lord can do. Verse 7 there says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. And Paul says, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. When you read, it's beautiful. When you read these and you see the words that are used and what the meanings of these things are, that are you persuaded? Do you know that you were chosen before the foundations of this world? That ought to help you be persuaded that He can take care of your life. He can take care of your eternity. After all, 6,000 years ago, more than 6,000 years ago, He chose Paul Reynolds. And my life, I'm 47 years old. And over 6,000 years ago, He chose me. To me, that's just amazing. I am persuaded. Are you persuaded that He's able? Look in 2 Timothy 2:15. You know this verse, right? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You want to not be ashamed? Study. When you're done studying, study some more. Study, study, study. Reading. Why? So you can be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, and you can rightly divide the word of truth. You can know what God's word says. That's what we need to do. Look in 1 John 2:28. I told you to remember, there in Mark chapter 8, I told you to remember that verse. Well, look in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28. Because now, little children, abide in him. Do you know what that word abide means? That word abide does not mean to come for a season. That word abide means to stay. Stay with him. Live with him. Be a part of him from now on. Have him a part of your life from now on, every aspect of your life. It says, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you want the Lord to not be ashamed of you when he comes, then you serve him every day. You serve him. You follow him every day. You stay with him every day. Seek his face in everything that we do. Last verse. I don't know if I said that was the last verse or not, but if I did, then I lied, and this is the last verse. Revelation chapter 14, verse 6. Why is it that Paul was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Revelation 14, verse 6. We're just going to read this one verse. It says, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven. Listen, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. What gospel was the angel preaching? The everlasting gospel. The gospel of Christ that Paul says he's not ashamed of. Did you know what that is? That's the everlasting gospel. Always going to be. When we get to heaven, Christ is going to be there. The Word is going to be there. Well, his Word is never going to change. His Word is going to be the same. This world changes. But if we want to not be ashamed this year, then we need to put his Word foremost in our lives. Every day. His word needs to be the most important thing in our lives every day. If it's not, when you get to the end of the year, end of the day, you're going to be ashamed. Do you want to be ashamed or do you want to not be? I hope and pray that this makes sense. It makes sense to me, but sometimes my words, I pray the Lord take it from my mouth to your ears. I pray that we will, this year, this year, we need to serve the Lord and follow him more than we ever have before. That's what I want to do. So, would y'all pray for me? Pray for me this year that I would be what the Lord wants me to be, better this year than I was last year. I desire your prayers in that. Well, Trish and I were talking about it. It's January 1st. It's just, that doesn't seem right. It does not seem right, and it really does not seem right to be 2020. It seemed like it's still being in 19s, 19-something. I told my dad that, and he's like, yeah, but I'm thinking 19 different than what you're thinking. Probably. I'm thinking 1990-something, But we've been here 8.5 months now, I think. 8.5 months. I want y'all to pray for me that I be a better pastor this year. That I grow. And that I be what this church needs me to be. That I be what God wants me to be. I would like y'all to pray for me for that. And I'm going to pray for y'all that you grow. That we all grow together. We don't just grow But we grow closer together to you. We grow in the Lord and we grow closer together. That we become a very tight-knit family. That's what I want. I think that's what the Lord wants in us. So, if you're here today and you're lost, I pray for you too. Pray that the Lord save you. Pray that he bring you to a place that you have nothing else to pray for, nothing else to trust in but him. Repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ tonight and he'll save you. I know that for a fact. He promised that over and over in his word. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Brother,